Say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome all of you here today, especially the visitors that are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. It's good to see each one of you here. It's good to be here and be able to worship the Lord together in this way. Lois and I had the privilege to be at a wedding yesterday of one of my nephews, actually one of our nephews. It's her nephews, her one brother's son and in Ohio. And we were able to see Alex there a little bit and didn't get to be with him a lot, but he was in for the wedding, so he went back out this morning to EBI, so probably should be there now or soon if he isn't yet. But anyway, it was good to be there, be able to see him. And there's something special about weddings. I don't know. It just makes you think about your own relationship, makes you think about a lot of things in life, and it's always good to be able to be a part of a wedding in different ways. For this morning for a message, we want to look at, I did appreciate the service so far and the devotional, the scripture reading you had, Brother Kyle, the Sunday school lesson we had, the songs. And I was thinking as we sang the songs there after Sunday school, I don't know if any of you thought about it. I read an article recently, it was a while back actually, and I came across it again, but it said in there that there's a lot of churches in America today that you won't hear any songs or hear anything over the pulpit anymore about the blood. I don't know if you thought about it, but two of the songs that we sang here between Sundays, the last three, were two of them spoke about the blood. And I'm just thankful that we can continue to remember that it's because of Jesus' shed blood that we can be clean and pure and white and holy before the Lord. So let's never forget that as we go through life. Last Sunday when I shared a message on unity. Today we're going to be looking at a message on integrity, and Lord willing, and next time I share a message here in a couple weeks, we'll be looking at being faithful to our commitments in the church, to one another and to the church. But thinking about integrity, what is integrity? Integrity means uprightness of character, honesty. Integrity is built on honesty. Today we're going to look on a subject that I believe touches each and every one of us at one point in time, if not on a daily basis. Being honest in what we say and what we do, always keeping our word. Title of the message this morning is A Life of Integrity. Paul Harvey told a story about four young men who were late to class. I think I maybe used this years ago as an illustration, but I thought of it again and I went and looked for it. Four high school boys were late to their morning class one day. They entered the classroom and solemnly told their teacher they were detained due to a flat tire. The sympathetic teacher smiled and told them it was too bad that they were late because they had missed a test that morning. But she said she was willing to let them make it up. She gave them each a piece of paper and a pencil and sent them to four corners of the room. She told them they would pass the test if they just answered which one question, and they all had the same answer. Which tire was flat? Think about that a moment. They thought they had a pretty good excuse for what had just happened, but they realized they were caught in the midst of what they were trying to do. In the world we live in today, we suffer from a lack of integrity. It has gotten to the point sometimes where you're not sure who you can trust anymore. There's another study that was done a few years back. There was two guys interviewed several thousand people, and they published their findings in a book called The Day America Told the Truth. Of those surveyed, 91% said they lied on a regular basis. 86% said they lied to their parents regularly. 75% said they lied to their friends. 69% said they lied to their spouses. 50% said they regularly called into work sick when they really weren't sick. Think about that for a moment. I would trust and hope for sure that it's a lot higher percentage than that if you would ask a group of Christians. But just the percentages there are just almost horrifying as you think about people that are being dishonest, people that are willing to not only be dishonest, but to act like it's just a normal part of life, I guess, is what I was thinking about. This morning we want to look at a portion of Scripture where we see what God wants and expects from us as Christians. If you will turn with me at this time, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. I guess you could say it's near the beginning it's still in the beginning parts of the Sermon on the Mount. Starting there at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or gray. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. We see several different concepts here in this text. One is not swearing, not taking the Lord's name in vain, not using foul language, being truthful. There's a lot of different things we could look at there, but I think as we look at this morning, it kind of ties all together as we think of what we're looking at here today. First part we want to look at is integrity affects our relationships. This passage, I believe, reveals to us some very important truths of why it is important for us to live truthfully, or we could say live a life of honesty. Think about honesty. Let's think a little bit first about dishonesty. Dishonesty will undermine your relationships. You know, I had to think of that study that was done where it said 75% lied to their friends, 69% lied to their spouses. I don't think I could live with myself if I did that. I just don't quite even understand how you could get to the point of being able to do that. But thinking about that thought of it undermining your relationships with one another, with your spouses, there's just no way that you could have a good open relationship if you lied that regularly, that the other ones would have to know that you're being untruthful one way or another, and it would undermine your relationships with them. When you lie and don't keep your promises, it destroys trust. And if you think about it, trust is what healthy relationships are built on. Honesty helps us to grow in our relationship with Christ and with others. Another thing that we need to remember is that dishonesty is contrary to the character of God. It's not only wrong, but it's completely contrary to who God is and what he expects from us. God is one who always keeps his commitments. There's a verse back in Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, God cannot lie. What he says is the way it is. It is the truth, and he will make it to happen. He is always faithful to his commitments. His character is one of truth and honesty, one of uprightness, one that will never change. Do you ever know, or maybe you know someone now that is known to tell all kinds of lies or tall tales and exaggerate a lot? As a young guy, when I was a teenager, you just couldn't trust anything he said. I mean, it just seemed like everything that came out of his mouth, it was like, it was either exaggerated or you weren't sure if it was even true. And after a while, there was a lot of things that happened in his life that revealed a lot of other things that were going on. When you're around somebody like that, after a while, you're not sure what you can even believe anymore. You probably heard the story about it. I'm thinking this is probably a made-up story, but you tell it to children to help them understand to be honest. But the little boy that was watching sheep, and he started crying wolf, and the first couple times he did it, the village, he was up in the mountain, if I understand the story right, or up on a hillside or the mountain, as the village would come running looking for this wolf. Well, the one day, they got to the point where they were like, he's just playing around. Any day, they'd get up there and he'd laugh at them because he'd made them all come running. Well, the one day, there was actually a wolf. And they were like, oh, he's just pulling a prank on us again. So they didn't even go. Well, that day, there actually was a wolf, and he came crying and just couldn't figure out why they didn't come to help him be able to save the sheep. And I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have heard some sort of part that might be in a little paraphrased version of the actual story, but have heard some sort of that part of that story and have shared it with our children, helped them understand to be honest and to be not exaggerate, not do things like that. Another thing to think about is, did you ever do something wrong and then lie about it? That never gets you anywhere. That, especially as a child or even as an adult, that gets you in double trouble when the reality comes around. Being a follower of Christ means a commitment to truth. We need to be people of our word. We want to be known for someone who keeps our promises no matter what. I remember as a young boy, my dad, different times, and he would look at something and be thinking about buying it. If it was something that he knew he wanted and was wanting, had been looking for it, he would often get it. But if it was something he wasn't quite sure about, he always had this phrase, "I want to sleep over it." I don't know if he, it was just, in other words, he wanted to think about it, not make a spur-of-the-moment decision. And I remember thinking about that several years ago. There was something, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember there was something that I had told somebody that I would take, and it was a couple days till I needed to pick it up. And in that process of that time, it was like, you know, I wished I wouldn't even have spoken to buy this. I wished I wouldn't, I don't even really want it. I don't even really need it. But then I remembered some of my dad's, another thing he always taught me was, let your yea be yea and your nay nay. If you've spoken for something, go through with it. And I mean, there's maybe times you need to be careful with some of that, but yet I went ahead and purchased whatever it was. And like I said, this is good many years ago. I don't even remember what it was anymore. But let your yea be yea and your nay nay. Thinking about that, we need to be people of our word. We want to be known as someone who keeps the promises that we make no matter what. There are common justifications that most of us will give at times when we break our promises. Well, I didn't think it was all that important. Maybe that was one of them. I thought I was going to be able to do that, but, you know, I had to answer the rest of it in there. It seemed like the right thing to do at the time. Or another one, it seemed like something was insignificant. We need to strive to keep our word, even when it may seem like it don't really matter. We need to be on guard for things that will tear down our integrity, or not just tear it down, but make people question our integrity. When you start to justify a little bit of dishonesty because it seems insignificant, you're getting closer to doing something you never thought you would do. Did you ever talk to someone and they say a phrase like this, "Well, I swear it's the truth," or "cross my heart or hope to die"? You know, when they make statements like that, you start being, you're like, okay, what do you, to not tell the truth when you don't make these statements? You know, it starts putting question in your mind, is the person really being truthful? Verse 34 there in our text, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne." Most of us, I would hope, would not tell an outright lie. But what about the little things that seem insignificant to us? It's a story of a pastor, and this was many years ago over in England. On a Monday morning, he got on a bus. When he paid for his fare, and he went and sat down, and after he sat down, he realized that he had gotten too much change. He was sitting there thinking, "Oh, wow, God has provided." But the longer he sat there, the money started burning a hole in his hand. And as he got off the bus, he stopped and said to the driver, "You gave me too much change." The driver said, "No, I was in your church yesterday morning and you preached on honesty. I wanted to see if you would live up to what you preached." I don't know if that's actually a true story or something made up, but it does make you stop and think about, what do we do in life? If we realize we've gotten too much change, or maybe the other way, if we realize we owe the person more than what we actually paid, are we willing to go back and say, "Hey, I owe you a little more money"? It's probably easier to give the money back when you've gotten too much than it is to go back. I mean, in our human thinking, that's what goes through our minds. But it all has to do with our integrity. Is it okay to twist the truth to cover up our mistakes? Do we ever try to exaggerate or mislead? Do we tell a story of something that happened, and the second time we tell it, it gets a little bigger, or we add a few more things to it, or the third time we tell it, it gets bigger yet? The more we bigger we make it, the better it sounds, the more people seem to soak it up, so to speak. Do we ever give false flattery? Do we ever deceive or cheat others in any way? A man by the name of Rodney Buchanan, a pastor in Ohio, said it like this: who has not been startled to hear yourself say something that is an exaggeration without even thinking about it? It's not like you begin a conversation with the intention of saying something that was not quite true. But before you knew it, you found yourself embellishing a story. Are you honest about your age? Have you been thoroughly honest in all your business dealings? Have you been dishonest about the time you claimed you work? Are not given an honest day's work for an honest day's wage? Thinking about that, are you dishonest about the time you claimed you work? I'm not sure if I ever shared this before, but it's probably been 10 or 15 years. It might be longer than that now. Lois always says when I say it's the amount of time, it's double that, but it can't be 30. I know that because I was married. So I was at the bank one morning. It was soon after the open. I needed to do some changing with an account. I don't remember what it was. So I was there a little longer, and the one lady, there was only a few of the people there yet. I got there about the time it opened. And the one teller came in, and I mean, she just came rushing in the door, and I was kind of like, you know, what's going on? I don't know if she knew she was late or what the whole story was, but she come trucking around the back of the counter there and grabbed her time card and put it in and punched her time in. And then she went back, and I guess she still was carrying all her bags, pocketbook, whatever else. She was, had a couple different things in her hand. I remember that. Still had a coat on. It was cold out. It was wintertime. Then she went back, and I assume they had a locker room or a room where they put all their stuff, and I was there for a little bit of time, and I'm going to guess it was at least 10 or 15 minutes later till she came back out and actually started working. And I thought about that, you know, was she doing that because she was late, or was she doing that to get the most out of her time that she could, that she was at the bank, because she actually didn't start working till at least 10 minutes, and if you do that every day, that's getting close to an hour a week. So I guess what I'm thinking about, are we being honest? Are we giving an honest day's work for the amount of time that we're putting in? A couple things to think about that, and I believe this is in the chapter that Brother Kyle read there in Ephesians 4, verse 25. Says, wherefore put away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. Part two we want to look at is keep your promises. Maybe you regret making a promise because things didn't turn out like you had hoped. Did you ever commit to doing something and as the time got closer you realized, man, I hardly have the time to do that. What was I thinking when I said yes? Our commitments define who we are. Verse 37 there in our text says, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. That sounds good and right and okay, but look at what the rest of the verse says. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. That adds a whole different dimension to it. Let your communication be yea, yea. In other words, if you're saying yes or if you're saying no, let your communication be honest. Let it be good, upright. Let it be a man of your word. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. There are times when we make promises that we really, for things that we really don't enjoy doing. But when we fulfill them, it builds on our integrity and will strengthen and enhance our witness for Christ. Did you ever think about how your children are watching your life, and not only your children, but others coming on before? Abraham Lincoln said it one time like this, That for a man to train up a child in the way that he or she should go, he must walk in that way himself. Heard a story of a man that it's very sobering to even think about this, but it was a man that was in the ministry of a church. And he told his one son, if I ever catch you smoking a cigarette, you're going to get it really good and proper. And after he said this, he walked out around the building and started smoking one himself. And I guess what I'm thinking about here is we cannot teach and train our children by what we say. We teach and train our children by what we do. And yes, we have to tell them. Don't hear me wrong here. But if we're telling them something different than what we live, our integrity will be questioned in many ways. Have you ever made a promise that you didn't really intend to keep? That's another sobering thought. Just to get somebody off your back, well, yeah, I'll do that, but then you never went on and never did it. A life of integrity is built on doing what we say you would do. It means to keep your promises and to be honest. Jesus is saying he wants us to keep our word and not look for easy ways out. Some promises are tough to keep, but we need to keep them to the best of our ability. What about our marriages? And this message isn't on marriage today, but we all made promises. For those of us that are here and are married today, we all made promises and vows on the day we got married. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, in plenty and want, in joy or in sorrow, as long as we both shall live. What about 20, 30 years later when somebody's sick? What about 10, 15 years later when you maybe don't have enough money to cover all your finances? What about when things happen that we wish wouldn't happen and it starts to create a conflict? Are we still remaining faithful to our promises? What about our commitments that we made to Jesus when we accepted him as our Savior and became a part of his church? We stand in front of a group of people, the church, and we proclaim that I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and if I have accepted him as my Savior and Lord, are we being faithful to those commitments? You know, I've probably said this before, but it just came to me again. We like the part about Jesus being our Savior, but what about the part of him being our Lord, our Master, the one that we are willing to come under, surrender to? Sometimes we get so involved with the things happening around about us that we forget about what God really wants us to do. What about our businesses, our jobs, our hobbies? Are we robbing God in any way? There's a lot of good things we can get involved in. There's many, many good things we can get involved in. But if they're robbing our families or our children or our relationship with the Lord in any way, we need to be careful of what we are doing. I believe God wants us to enjoy life and to enjoy what we do in life. But what takes priority in our lives? The things of God or the things of this old world? And don't hear me wrong here either. We need to have jobs. I remember Brother Ernie saying one time, we're just as bad of a person if we don't provide for our families as we are if we take time away from them. So, in other words, if we do too much and don't have time for our families, that not working and providing for our families is just as much of a sin as that is. So we need to be careful that we have a proper balance. Part three we want to look at yet is building our integrity. I said a little bit about verse 37 there, but we want to look just a little bit more there. Your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. If we're a person that always says, yeah, we'll do this and we'll do that, or yes, I'm going to buy this, and we always go back on our word, people will begin to question our integrity. Do we keep the promises that we said we would do? What about accountability? Are we being accountable for the consequences? It's a story of a coach. His name was Cleveland Stroud. He had coached the blue-collared Bulldogs for 18 years. It was a basketball team at a school in Ohio. They made it to the championship. Stroud proclaimed it was the perfect night when they had won, a night you dreamed of. It had been a good game, and the players were doing their best. He was carried around the gym on the shoulders of his triumphant players and their proud parents. But the excitement was short-lived. 2 months after the championship, during a routine grade check, he discovered that one of the players was academically ineligible. The player in question had only played 45 seconds in the regional qualifying tournament. I thought it was all ruined. I went through a phase where I was really depressed. He struggled with what to do next, yet his commitment to integrity led him to the right decision. Winning is one of the most important things for any coach, he said. Winning is the most important thing for any coach, he said, but your principles have to be higher than your goals. He reported the error to the league, and the Bulldogs forfeited their trophy. When the team lamented their loss in the locker room, he told them, "You've got to do what is honest, you've got to do what is right and what the rules say." People forget the schools of a basketball game, but they will never forget what you are made of and your integrity. Did you catch the part in there, though, that he only played for 45 seconds in that game, but yet the coach was willing to do what was right? One thing to remember once you start breaking promises or commitments to yourselves and to others, it becomes much easier to break a promise from there on out. As we learn to be honest with ourselves, it helps us to be truthful with others around about us. When we are dishonest, we're not only lying to ourselves, but we're lying to others. And we are also being dishonest before God. People will make all kinds of oaths to try to get others to believe that they are telling the truth. I've said before, when I was young, in some of my teen years, I ran with the wrong crowd for a while. But some of the things I heard them say, and some of the little cliches, I guess you could say, cross up my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye, you know, if I'm not telling the truth, I swear on a stack of Bibles, or if I'm lying, I'm dying. May lightning strike me if I'm not telling the truth. And this is one I never could figure out, and I still probably shouldn't even say it, but I swear on my mother's grave. I don't know why they would even use a term like that. Another one, with God as my witness. We'll look just a little closer here at verse 34 and 35 in our text. It says but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. You know, I guess the thing we want to think about and remember here is that if we tell the truth all the time, we don't have to add little cliches like that, or we don't have to say things to try to make people believe what we're saying. As Anabaptists, we believe that we should affirm rather than swear. In other words, if we ever get in a situation where we are called to testify, that we should affirm instead of swear. In other words, and I hear me right here, not swear as in using foul language, but swear that you're telling the truth. We're going to affirm that we're telling the truth. By affirming, we are stating that we believe in telling the truth at all times, and I will do my best to tell the truth in this situation. By swearing, it leaves open the suggestion that we may not always tell the truth, is why we would believe in that. And I believe that is scriptural here as we think about what we're saying. God takes all lying seriously. I won't turn to it, but in Proverbs 12, verse 22, talks about lying as being an abomination to the Lord. So how can we get to the place where we are living a life of integrity and keeping our promises and being honest? First, we need to admit the struggle that we are having is a real struggle. It is something that all of us deal with to one point or another at a certain times of our lives. As you admit the struggle and admit that truthfulness can be a struggle, we also need to recognize that Jesus is saying, no matter what, tell the truth. In other words, we need to remember that Jesus is saying we need to be honest. We need to have a life of integrity. No matter what, be honest in your dealings. It's a place of business that we go to, and I don't think they do this purposefully, but they have a policy that if you pay cash up front, they give you a 4% discount, if I can get the word out right. And many times the one son don't give it to you. And if you reminded me, I still got to do that. And sometimes I'm almost to the place of being ready to ask him if he's actually forgetting or if he's doing that on purpose so they don't have to give us a discount. I don't want to be whatever. It is a Christian business, so I'm hoping they're doing it all honestly. But anyhow, I you know, things like that. You know, you would think if it's something they do on a normal basis, it would be easy to remember that you get a 4% discount when you pay up front and pay the day you pick your stuff up. That's all part of helping us to have a life of integrity and honesty. Sometimes we need to examine our motives. Why am I making this promise? What do I really want? Am I willing to try to succeed at the cost of relationships? Do I want acceptance, even if it means being less truthful? Living an honest life and keeping our promises isn't always easy, but it's what God has asked us to do. Did you ever think about some of the greatest heroes of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews had lied at one point in their life? Abraham lied about his wife and said she was his sister because he thought she was going to be he would be killed, so she would be he would be she could be taken from him. Jacob lied and said that Jacob lied and said he was Esau, so he could receive the blessing from his father. Peter lied and said he didn't know Jesus. David was dishonest in what he did in a lot of the things surrounding the situation with Bathsheba. However, the Holy Spirit can work miracles in each situation and change things for his honor and for his glory. Abraham came to a point and place in his life where he was able to trust God for everything. The same man that had lied about his wife being his sister was the same man that trusted in God when God asked him to take his son Isaac up on the mountaintop and sacrifice him, his beloved son. Jacob, after a night of wrestling with God, was able to trust God with everything he had, and so he returned to face his brother Esau, whom he had cheated and betrayed. Peter was able to trust God before the same crowd that he had called for Jesus' crucifixion when he stood up at Pentecost to proclaim the same name that he had just denied approximately 50 days earlier. Jesus said, if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, we have to be a people of our word. Again, there in verse 37, I'm not going to take time to read it, but that's kind of where that thought comes from. Be a person who other people can count on. Thinking about a lack of integrity happening around about us in society. Integrity or uprightness of character or honesty. Looking for people of integrity in our generation perhaps can be compared to searching for a needle in a haystack. Indeed, it is much easier to identify a grain of salt in a snowstorm. True men and women of integrity are rare indeed. If you are one of them, Are you one of them? Is your life characterized by integrity? The Bible clearly indicates that our lives should be. In this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that we should be as good as our word, and we should be as good, our word should be as good as any signed document. We used to teach our children that our reputation was extremely important. Parents would exhort children by telling them that what they had worked hard to recreate, a good name, is a representative of the Lord, and that their children also need to work hard to maintain that. You know, our lives will always, I've said this before, but it come to me again, our lives will always be remembered for something. Are we trustworthy? Are we honest? Do we live a life of integrity? Are we always looking for somehow to get that next dollar, one way or another, out of each situation? Are we trusting the Lord that He will take care of us? One more thing I want to read yet in closing. It was a devotional. It was here about a month or so ago that I'd read. titled "You're King of Glory" and talking about fighting the good fight of faith. A storm is raging about you, the winds are tempest, and your ship is about to sink in defeatful thread. You're struggling long and hard, gaining only sore muscles, and your tears are flowing freely. You have yet to see any hope of relief, but you think God must be far away. Yet if only you lift up your head, you will see a loving Savior coming near, crossing waves that are completely in his control. Lift up your head, the King of Glory shall come in. Psalm 24:7. Who is this king? He is the Lord of all creation, the captain of the army of victors, and the ruler of the most tempest sea. As the gates lift their heads to the King of Glory, enter a city, so you should lift your head to let him enter your tempest. He is your source of strength, and only through him can we claim the hope of peace and victory. Never despair, for where there is life, there will be a struggle to maintain it. The Christian life is a battleground for two major forces, sin and self, against God's Spirit within us. Fight on, but only with the King of Glory. Why does God often seem so far away? Why does our struggle for standing for truth seem only to intensify? Is it because the multitude of evil forces in this world are waging a terrible battle against anyone who withstands them? Fight on one day at a time. Gather strength, often from the word of the Lord and through communion with him. Let the Lord of hosts, the King of Glory, come in and give you all you need for victory. What a fight to be in, since we know that we will win. Are we willing to continue on in life, living a life of honesty and purity and holiness? Do we care? I think I have it. It just came to me too. I think I still have it laying there on my desk. It's something I found many years ago. It says, integrity is doing the right thing, even if you know no one will ever know. Think about that for a moment. And we all know, by saying that, we all know that God knows everything. But thinking about others around us, doing the right thing, even if we never know that no one would ever know. Are we willing to be a people that are honest? Are we willing to be a people that are good and upright? To keep our promises, the only way we can do that is if we continue to trust in the Lord and serve him. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.